shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Everybody, happy Thursday up in here. Hope you guys are having a great Thursday night. I apologize for the delay of getting the show up here. I have a new work schedule. It's kind of changing up how I'm doing things. I'm trying to figure it all out right now. But we're here now on a lovely, lovely Thirsty Thursday. Hope you guys are having a great Thursday. We are. It's going to be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it. It's a fun one, man. You know, here's the thing. I wanted to do this program tonight to talk about a couple of things, but we're getting so close to the holidays, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun to talk more holiday-type food. Two of my favorite friends here to do that, but before we get to our main guest tonight, who is the one and only Instagram icon, the meat queen herself, Grill Mama, we'll get to her in a second. I'm joined tonight by none other than the one, the only, the Forking Chef, a.k.a. Chef Jeff Rozzi. Jeff Rowe, what's up, buddy? How are you, man?
Till like you were gonna actually book us, I wasn't gonna do any work for you. So if you call me and like, oh well, how many people do you think I need? I'd be like, well, you know, once, as soon as you pay the, you know, like book us and you get us on board, I'll answer all your questions and you know we'll get this going. But you know, no offense, I'm not gonna help you plan your party for you to not book us, because when the price comes, you're gonna say, oh my gosh, you know, or whatever. You know, I've done it too long to want to do that. And because I'm not in the position to do it, like that I have to do it, I become a little bit more, you know, a little more fussy and a little more like, no, thank you. It's not for me, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, man. And it's tough because it was such a great platform. I'm sure there's other platforms like that out there, but it's really, really bad to see things like that were doing so well for certain. I'm sure it's not every, because they do things from everything from carpentry to dog walking on this particular website, but for catering gigs, it was fantastic, and now it's just kind of falling apart, and that's a shame. And I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little bit of an issue there with the sound. I know. I just fixed it with Jeff's microphone. That is now fixed. You can hear his lovely voice loud and clear now, sounding bright and pretty.
Me.
You know, I had to do these voiceovers earlier today for this commercial, and I had to change some settings on some things, and I apparently didn't change them back, or I thought they would default back, but that's what I get for thinking. Hey, you know what I'm having right now? I'm sitting here drinking a beautiful, beautiful old fashioned. I'm like it's my new thing right now. I feel like I'm finally a man. I'm having a bourbon cocktail. Is that a thing?
No, I'm having Earl Grey tea with scotch, a little scotch in it.
Now we're both having manly drinks as we sit here with our old fashioned and our Earl Grey with scotch and our robes, having a cup of warm chicken broth.
Yeah, I'm wearing a pair of Lost Car sweatpants.
Ooh.
Just, you know, really.
Hey, you dropped that name right there. Let me see if I picked that up for you. You said Lost Car.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Appreciate that.
Hey, one last order of business I got to attend to really quick. Last week on the program, last Monday night, we had Chef Ben Randall on from his show that he does. The guy cracks me up. He's hysterical. It's called In the Weeds. It's a podcast. You can find it on iTunes. Love that guy. It was a lot of fun to talk to. Hope to have him back on the show here very soon. Had to answer a few questions from his show this past week, which is pretty funny. He was sending me on his show. He and his co-host had asked some questions. I thought I would answer them for you guys right now. Flanders Donuts, they're delicious. However, they're an Eastern Connecticut thing, not a Western Connecticut towards the city thing. I figured it out. My microphone, the one I had been using, was a little tinny. I have now switched to a better microphone. Ben, your geography skills are the fucking drizzling shits, just FYI. And untrue, Faygo is an off-brand and is from Michigan. Those are my answers to the questions they asked on their podcast. If you want to check it out and find out what those are, check out the In the Weeds podcast on iTunes with our buddy Chef Ben Randall. And Jeff, if you haven't heard that one, you should. He's so funny, dude. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I'm actually, I just I'm a couple behind.
No,
I've
getting
caught up.
Well, you know, listen, holidays are kind of, Jeff, is Thanksgiving, is that a fun holiday for you, or do you just have to work your ass off?
It's both. You know, I mean, first of all, I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, I love turkey. I love turkey. Any way we can do it, I love it. I love stuffing, and I only eat it pretty much this time of year.
Right.
And I also love, like, several different types of stuffing. And I'll generally make, like, three types of stuffing because I'm just a gabon and I love stuff.
Yeah,
I won't try it all.
I thought it'd be fun to come on here and talk a little Thanksgiving meals, but a little bit different. I said in my Instagram post that put a little spin on it. And I don't mean spin like regular. I mean spin like an Australian toilet because, you know, it goes the opposite direction. And a great person to talk about that with is our good friend Grill Mama. Grill Mama's make sure you follow her on Instagram at Grill Mama. She's super fantastic. She's a great cook. She's always doing some fun stuff when it comes to meat. She's the meat queen herself. But to top it all off, she's a pharmacist. Like, isn't that just insane, Jeff? Like, what the fuck?
I know. That's amazing.
Like, that's insane.
She can feed us all that fat and then give us Lipitor to keep us alive.
That's great. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Grill Mama. Grill Mama, good evening, my dear. How are you?
Hey, Plum. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing?
Amazing. How are you?
I am fabulous. What's going on?
I'm drinking a pint glass full of old fashioned. Then I have a bar shaker full for a refill for when I run out. Does that mean I have a problem?
That's about how you roll.
I've been looking forward to it all day. I had to hang these lights first before I could have a cocktail.
Did you get it done?
Oh, did I get it done? It's fucking phenomenal. It looks amazing in there.
And he has his Earl Grey tea.
Yeah. The best part is Jeff said he's in sweatpants, but we all know he's wearing a robe with no like underwear or nothing underneath it. And he's just like, sometimes you gotta air him out. And he's enjoying a cup of tea.
It's absolutely true. And if you drive down 6th Avenue in between 13th and 14th Street, look up. I'm on the 6th floor. And it's a good show. I'm just saying. Goodbye.
That's terrible. Good time.
I'm glad I'm in upstate.
Grandma, how is Thanksgiving for you? Do you work your ass off or do you have other people cooking?
I have actually worked, like you guys mentioned, I'm a pharmacist, and unfortunately I have worked the last 7 Thanksgivings in a row.
I have a question about that. Jeff, chime in here, Jeff. You think I'm overstepping my boundaries a little bit. I mean, when you're a pharmacist, like, you do well for yourself. Like, we don't need to get all into that, but you do well. Everyone knows that pharmacists do well. You work your ass off to get there. It makes total sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you work a holiday, do you still get paid like double time and a half or some shit, or is it just the same?
We don't. It depends on where you are in pharmacy. Like people that are hospital pharmacists, they might get an extra day off a week. In retail pharmacy, though, we don't get any extra time off. The only holiday I should say we're closed is Christmas. So if that's your day to work, according to the 2-week rotation, you work. So there's no like switching out of holidays. So
you close early?
We close early, thank God. So at least I still cook. So what I usually do is I buy a big turkey and put it on the grill just before I leave. And then I monitor it by Wi-Fi so I can watch it at work to see what the internal temperature is.
All right. Whoa. There. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that because I have lots of questions about that, Jeff. But, Jeff, I got to ask you something. If you went to school, as long as it takes to be a pharmacist, you have a job, it's a pharmacist, you're fucking doing well for yourself, everything's fantastic, but then you find out you still work at a place with a drive-through. Do you feel like you haven't quite made it?
Oof. I don't know. That's a tough one. You know what? I think yes, because I think if I got paid what a pharmacist made and I worked at McDonald's, I would still say thank you and I would work the drive-thru. I'd be the happiest fry cook in the fucking world. I'd be like dropping fries, dancing. People would come from all over to see me because I'd be like, hey, David, drop those fries. 6 Big Macs on 2. Whoop,
I love that shit. when he tells that story, for some reason, I can picture Jeff doing it, but for some reason, he's still wearing his robe and carrying his cup of tea. That's how I picture him working that job.
I have such a visual right now. Oh my gosh.
Me too. And boy, oh boy, let me tell you what. So you have a turkey on the grill, you said, right?
Yeah.
So talk about this process. And you have a Wi-Fi timer in or a Wi-Fi thermometer in it, you said?
Yeah, you can get different thermometers where you can monitor it via Wi-Fi, so I could be at work and take a look and see where my bird is. So if it's cooking a little too fast, or
pharmacists are doing well for themselves. I still got the fucking thermometer, Jeff. I got to put an ice water to recalibrate, and then like you take a little wrench built into it.
Oh.
Make it,
you know?
But you know what I mean. I've had times where I've had it drop. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, and I've had to have my neighbor like run over and you know, double check on the grill, or you know. So at least I know, you know, it's peace of mind when you're the cook of the family, and you want to know that you have control over what's going on when you're not there. So
is it indirect? You're doing like indirect heat on it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't spatchcock it. I keep it all together, and
yeah.
I don't know. I know, like everybody, so many people like to spatchcock their turkeys, but I don't know. I like seeing a whole bird on Thanksgiving.
Me too.
I think it's something about it, right?
So are you wood grilling?
I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you. You're still yeah. eating a whole bird, though it's spatchcocked.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, how should we say a bird that's, you know. Doesn't have his backbone chopped out and flattened.
Let's just say this, though. You can't say spatchcock unless you do it. I mean, and that's...
She said it, like, with vigor, too.
I'm not saying I've never spatchcocked a bird.
Mm. I'm sure there's...
What I'm saying is, on Thanksgiving, I like to have, you know, this... What terminology would you like me to use for a non-spatchcocked bird?
You're more of a traditionalist?
Yes, I'm very in terms of the holidays, yes.
So what kind of grill is this? Are we talking about like a are you talking about doing on a grill like a like an indirect heat kind of, or charcoal grill? Are you doing like on a gas grill, like a wood burning? How do you do it?
No, usually I'm doing my my Thanksgiving turkey like on my Big Green Egg, so it's charcoal. I don't like a lot of smoke on my poultry, especially not my Thanksgiving or holiday bird.
Yeah, it can be overpowering, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people do like to smoke them, but I don't. I just like the flavor that the charcoal is going to give it alone, and I typically don't add any wood. And I don't cook it at lower temperatures to actually, you know, smoke it. I'm pretending almost like it's an oven, but I'm doing it on charcoal indirect outside. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my good buddy DJ Barbecue, last time I talked to him, he was really getting into making his own charcoal. Have you ever done that?
No, I think you told me about that once.
Like really into it, like talking about making it. Which I'm like, you know, listen, as a chef, like all we want is more and more control, right, Jeff? We just want to, like, I'll make the charcoal. It's mine. You know, like that's just kind of what we do.
Yeah.
That's wild. Where does he live again?
Over in England.
That's why I thought you said he was overseas.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. I mean, good for
Dan
him,
Barber,
but wow.
Oh, really? You said Dan Barber does it?
Yeah, but he's doing it he's making charcoal out of the animals that he's going to cook it over. So he's like taking like beef shins and whole giant beef bones and then like slow roasting them and carbolizing them. I don't know the actual term. I'm an idiot when it comes to that. But and then making it into charcoal and then cooking like the meat.
God.
So it'd be like, you know, the steer's bones are made into a charcoal that we then roasted it over. And like, you know.
What the fuck? That's kind of awesome. Like, that's really.
And he's making plates. He's making plates out of the bone, too. He's like cooking it down and making bones personal. Yeah, he's on like another level, that guy.
Yeah, that's insanity.
That's another level type stuff. How long does your turkey take, Grill Mama?
Well, it depends on the size of the bird, eh?
You always were very... You did carry a lot, you've always cared a lot about how big things are. I do know that.
Actually, I just cooked a... I just cooked a turkey today, actually. It's just under 14 pounds. It was a little one. I'm usually for the holidays, I'm doing something like, you know, 20 pounds or so.
Now, are you brining it?
I wet brine, yeah.
Ooh, talk about your brine for a second.
I like doing an apple cider brine. So it's like apple cider and peppercorns and brown sugar and star anise and juniper berries and citrus. I'll put oranges, maybe a couple lemons if I have them on hand.
For how long?
I concur.
I try to go 24 hours. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen last night because I was making my brine at like 1:30 in the morning.
Jeff, talk about what a brine does, just to people who don't understand it. Yeah, I know sometimes we kind of get very chefy on this show, and I just start talking about shit and explaining things. But tell everybody what a brine does.
Basically, a brine is a salt and sugar water solution that when you put the poultry in, salt has this really amazing ability to, like, if something's saltier than whatever you put into it, eventually it will even itself out. The salt will go into it. And when the salt and the sugar pass into the bird, it can't come back out because of the sugar, I believe.
And it almost also brings moisture with it when it penetrates the bird. So
it penetrates the bird and it locks in moisture with that salt. So it puts in flavor and extra moisture. So when you cook it slowly, it has more moisture in it. So you're kind of like packing, you know, you're kind of like stacking the deck.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of giving yourself a little bit of a little leeway there for when you roast your bird, because sometimes birds can be really dry during Thanksgiving. But, you know, anybody can make a brine. A brine doesn't have to be like, well, Grill Mama's talking about sounds amazing, but if you just take some sugar, equal parts sugar and salt, and mix it with some water, enough to cover your fucking bird and let it sit overnight, that'll make a big difference.
Can we talk, though, about store-bought brines for a second? Have you ever bought any of those?
Well, Grill Mama, have you?
I have.
I find them incredibly salty.
I bought one from Williams-Sonoma once, and I actually like that one. I haven't bought one beyond that. No, you know what? I can't say that. There's a couple of people I know that have rub companies that, you know, make small batch, make them. But I've never went to, like, a grocery store and made them. That I actually enjoyed the ones, you know, the people I know that have these smaller rub companies and hand mix all this stuff make, you know, because they're testing it and trying it. It's on a smaller level than this commercially produced stuff where they dump a shit ton of salt and it's just not right, you know.
Yeah, but that's what I found some of them to be super salty. Like almost like when you follow the instructions, like you're almost like, I don't know.
It's like the ratios are off and it just throws it off or something. I don't know.
And you can overbrine things too, I think, which is kind of crazy.
Like I've done that.
Yeah. Like you brine it too long and then it's like almost cured.
It will almost become like chalky in your mouth, you know, which I think 24 hours is pushing it. I usually try to go between 12 and 18. What do you do, Jeff?
I think it depends on what I'm brining. I think when I brine things like pork and lamb, less, and when I do things like poultry, probably a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking like a whole, like a 20-pound turkey for Thanksgiving. Let's just use that as a general kind of, that's what we're doing.
I usually do like an overnight, but so it'll probably be like, you know, 14 to 18 hours. Like I'll put it in at like noon, and I might take it out the next day at like 2 or 3 and let it dry. Like, after I take it out, though, I will let it dry overnight on a rack.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. So then, in the fridge, so that air is running around it, right?
Yeah, so that way it kind of like, you know, it's not just a soppy wet kind of thing when you're going to cook it. I like it to be a little...
Hey, listen, I want to tell you my brine, and Grill Mom, I want to get your opinion on it, because I've figured it out over the years of doing the turkey for Thanksgiving for my entire family. I like to brine my turkey in sweet tea. So
what?
I'll make a straight up sweet tea like I used to drink as a kid in Virginia, in the middle of the summer, and I literally will brine my bird in that. But once the tea is done and it's just starting to like stop being hot, you know, as they're cooling it off, I will add about a cup and a half of sugar to it. Not sugar, of a cup and a half of salt to it, like kosher salt, to kind of dissolve into the tea, and then I pour that in, and then I put the ice in it and put the turkey in it and let it go. And it is unbelievable because those tannins from the tea kind of start to penetrate it, and you get that little bit of that tea flavor, that little bit of that earthiness, that leafy kind of flavor in the bird. It's so good.
Well, that's really interesting. And that's a whole other thing too, right? You know, we talk about making these brines that are something beyond just sugar and salt, and how much of that is actually, you know, penetrating through the skin. And I appreciate that you said that, because I was just going to bring up, you know, dry brining versus wet brining. And, you know, so often you're like, okay, you know, I taste this in the skin, the outside of the turkey, but how much am I getting inside of it? But the one thing I do like from wet brining is just some of that residual flavor, like when you're using that to make gravy, you know, it's more complex than if you just don't do that. So that's, you know, the one benefit I love. But have you guys ever dry brined your bird?
I've never done that. I imagine that being a lot like curing. Is it the same kind of process? You just don't let it go as long?
It actually goes longer. Like, you know, if you're wet brining, they say, you know, 24 hours is plenty. But dry brining, they say you can even do it a couple of days ahead of time. Like if it's going to be sitting uncovered for more than a day, then, you know, throw some plastic wrap on it. But the skin's supposed to be... a little bit crispier and a little bit better color when you cook it. But I haven't tried it yet because I love the wet brine I make so much with the apple cider. So I was curious if you guys had.
I haven't, but Jeff, have you ever done it or no?
Not with a turkey. I mean, I dry brine lots of stuff in the summers, all sorts of different beef things. What I do is I'll rub it really well, and then I backpack it, and then let it sit in the backpack, you know, for a couple of days, like maybe 2 days, two, 3 days.
Talk about what your brine is. What is your dry brine you'd use, like a standard one?
Standard dry brine is usually like brown sugar, salt, dry mustard, you know, garlic, some herbs, you know, something like that.
Find a real difference in the meat when you do that?
Definitely. And I do a lot of dry. So basically, a brine and a cure are very similar. It's just the amount of time. So I wet brine cure meat, and I also dry brine cure meat, which becomes really wet. And then sometimes you have to like take it out, rub off, you know, kind of rinse it off a little bit, or just rub it off, and then put like reapply the dry brine, and then backpack it again for like another, you know, week and a half to really get it in there and to get it to cure the way you want it to. Different.
It sounds great. So, Grill Mama, I'm going to fry my turkey this year.
Are you really?
Yeah, I've got everyone convinced, and they're going to let me do it this year. So I'm going to fry it. So I'm going to brine it, right? And then we're gonna fry it.
Obviously,
we're gonna fry it.
You never brine it. Brine it.
You're gonna have all that moisture. It's gonna pop like hell when you. No,
you gotta inject it with flavor. You gotta inject it with compound butter.
That's a great idea.
It's absolutely. I'm telling you, dude. I fry many, many, many birds. My family, I've traditionally always cooked one bird either in the oven, traditional, and then one is either fried or grilled or smoked or, you know, some weird shit that I come up with, you know, that makes me happy to do the bird.
So you think even if I'm gonna fry my bird, I shouldn't brine it and let it dry overnight, and then make sure it's super dry and then drop it in? No.
I would be terrified to have all of that liquid. So when you're injecting fat into it, you know, you're frying it in fat. When any kind of excess water hits that fat, it's gonna like bubble all over the place.
Of course.
So I'm with him. I'm injecting with butter.
I've brined birds, and this is the other thing: when you brine a bird and deep fry it, it's a much more aggressive cooking method. And the sugars that are in a brine caramelize sometimes a little too dark, and they'll caramelize inside, you know, around the skin, not just in the skin because it's in the meat, you know, so it starts to like, I don't know. This is just my opinion.
Interesting. Huh. All right, maybe we'll do a dry brine. Maybe I'll try a dry brine on my bird, then do it.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's safer too.
Dry brine, and then I would inject it, dude. Trust me. Get a couple needles, fill it with something delicious like a sage, you know, and whatever butter, some sort of like, you know, holiday butter, and inject the holy shit out of it all through the breast, all through the thighs, and then fry it, and all that butter deliciousness will be up in there. Trust me.
It'll be all up in that turkey.
Oh, wow. Man. It gets me so excited just talking about fried turkey and the skin. I could just live on turkey skin until my heart popped.
Hey, listen, I got this question just came over here over the chat. No one ever uses the chat, but I got a chat question from Joe. Grill Mama, he wants to know, have you ever made swine epidermis dust?
Say that again?
It's one of my friends.
I figured. Although, let me tell you what.
Hold on. Swine epidermis? Yes. What?
I actually have. This is a true thing. We called it pork pixie dust.
Pork pixie dust. I like that one.
We did it at Mohegan Sun last year, where we took our pig, we cut it, I skinned the entire thing. Then I walked around the kitchen with it on my face, like on Texas Chainsaw Massacre for a little bit. And then I told people I was making a woman outfit, and I said I put the lotions in the basket. Which was really funny. I got a big kick out of it. Dave thought it was fucking hysterical. I don't know if anybody else did, but we laughed our balls off. Come on, you got a big dude walking around the kitchen with a pig skin on his face with eyes cut out. It was fucking unbelievable. Jeff, you'd have laughed your ass off too.
I think you're being really insensitive. I mean, that could have been a trigger for someone.
I'm sure that's racist. You can't say that word.
What the trick?
You said trigger. Sorry. Listen, so My thing here was is that then we took it, we put it in the oven. Yeah, that was inappropriate. It's not stationed. Sorry. We put it in the oven and we dried it out on a low heat, and then it's almost to where we candied it. You know, we put brown sugar on it, candied it, and then when it came out super crispy, we then put it in the Robocool and powdered the fuck out of it, and we used that powdered pork skin that had been, you know, completely powdered down and candied as a garnish on our buffalo balls we made.
we would what Joe was talking about, we cooked together up in Toronto at an event, so it was like 1,000 people, and we made these
wait
pork
a minute
belly
time out a sec, hang on a second Jeff, there's 1,000 people in Toronto, did you know that?
At the event, you
dot is where it's at, man.
Sorry.
I love
go ahead.
Toronto.
Sorry.
Big shout out to Toronto.
Toronto. But anyway, at the final like topping on our tacos was crushed up pork skins that we seasoned and like just pulverized to add a little crunch at the end of, you know, that bite.
You guys need a chef, because you could come up with like candied pork dust. We could have called it pork pixie dust, like we did.
So that's why he's like, "What am I going to call it?" He's like, "It's pork swine epidermis dust." Like, we are not calling it that.
Epidermis should never be a word to describe good food.
I'm going to start using that in all sorts of stuff.
Are you?
I forgot about the word epidermis. It means skin, right?
It's a solid word. Yes. Yeah, it's a solid word. It's a solid word.
I love skin. I just said that. I'm an epidermis freak.
Put the fucking lotion in the basket.
Aren't I sexy? Look at me. Look at me, I'm beautiful.
I fuck me.
I'm doing this. I'm doing this right up.
And you're playing, what's the song? Wild Horses? Wait, what's
floor across.
Dude, I can't YouTube fast enough to find the fucking song. Wild Horses, what's it called?
Wild
Fuck.
Horses, that one.
No, I don't know. It's too late now.
You have me thinking about crispy pork belly now.
Yeah, pork belly. That's delicious. So in your. Turkey.
Speaking of dry brining.
Yeah, your turkey. You're going to do on the grill this year. Is that the plan?
Yeah. I still haven't actually bought my actual Thanksgiving turkey yet. I'll just go pick up a fresh one. I did like a nice, somebody send me a nice heritage bird today. So it was like such a nice turkey. No, I'm probably going to end up, oh no.
I fucked me. Put the goddamn lotion in the basket. All right.
Put the lotion on the skin.
Or get the hose again.
You sure this isn't Station Head?
Oh my god, that song is the best. Sorry, I was just watching clips of Silence of the Lambs. That's why my don't ask why that's happening, but I do weird things at night.
We know, Plum.
Inspiration.
Yeah. Well, your turkey sounds delicious. You got room at the table for me, because I'm going to come up there.
Yeah, drive your ass up here.
Jeff and I are going to come hang out. How many people do you cook for?
Because my family doesn't live here. They're down in Pennsylvania. So on Thanksgiving, I'll put out an invite if anybody wants to come, but they have to wait for me to get home to finish dinner. So it's kind of how I roll on the holidays anymore, you know?
That's funny, man.
Yeah, my family aren't the best cooks, so I just rather do it myself, and you know, they can come eat and help do the dishes, you know. Nice. I'd rather it that way, actually. So.
Hey, talk about, like, if you had to pick two sides, right? We're having Thanksgiving dinner, and each of us are bringing two sides. Girl Mama, what are your two sides you're bringing?
Stuffing's my favorite part of dinner. Mm. And I want to ask Jeff. He said he makes, like, three kinds of stuffing. I want to hear it.
No.
Oh, you want another side.
Yeah. I mean, listen, in this Thanksgiving dinner we're doing, Jeff, I think that we probably should default to Grill Mama to do our turkey, don't you? And I don't yield very often on that.
I think if she's going to put them on the grill, yeah, hell yeah, I'm my way into that.
Hell yeah. I like Brussels, too. Brussels sprouts with some pancetta. Mm. That's one of my favorite things.
So you got turkey, Brussels sprouts, and pancetta, and what's your other one you're going to bring?
Well, I don't want to make the mashed potatoes. Somebody else can make those. Okay. But I love them.
Yeah.
They're important to have there.
All They're right. important to have there. Yeah.
Well, I guess
he has to make them.
If you're doing turkey, you got to do gravy.
Well, of course. If I'm bringing something, I'm bringing the damn stuffing, and I want lots of sage in it. Lots of fresh sage. Mm. And I want my Brussels with meat, of course.
All right, Jeff, we get this beautiful Thanksgiving dinner that's coming together, man. What are the two sides you bringing? What are you bringing to Thanksgiving dinner tonight?
I bring a like an updated version of green bean casserole.
Nice.
Where I like, you know, I do like wild mushrooms, like a bechamel, some shallots roasted in that, mixed around the beans, and then I top it with like a gallon of fried shallots.
A gallon.
I love that.
Yeah, it comes out really good. My wife's actually taken over that. It came from a catering company that I worked at like a long time ago.
Right.
And now my wife makes that every year and I love it. And the other thing would be the stuffing. And I make like the stuffing that I really crave, that I really always want, is the, you know, the real traditional, like I like to use brioche bread that I dry out ahead of time. A ton of herbs. I like to use Jimmy Dean hot and spicy or hot and nasty or whatever the fuck it's called. Nice. That like food sausage.
First of all, you just got a new nickname, sir.
Jimmy Dean hot and nasty.
You just got a new nickname, sir. Hot and nasty.
And then it has to have some dried fruit, usually cherries. Cherries are a big thing for me. I love cherries. So I soak cherries in brandy. Then I throw that in there. I usually throw some chestnuts in it. And it's like, you know, a lot of celery, onions, and a lot of herbs and stock. And it just makes me so happy. Mm. And I don't like stuffing my bird either.
Yeah, I'm against that too.
Yeah.
Although I understand
I like
why.
The stuffing out of a bird.
Yeah.
I like the taste of it, but I don't like the turkey that's been stuffed.
It changes the flavor for sure.
Do you guys like the stuffing cold the next day?
Oh, yeah.
That's like one of my favorite things, to sneak in the refrigerator late at night and just grab a hunk of stuffing and shove it in my face.
Hold on. You don't make the perfect sandwich the next day? Who does?
Of course I do.
Bread just for
of
the next
course.
Day. And it's got to be turkey, the cranberry sauce, the heated up stuffing on my sandwich. I like the hot stuffing on the cold, everything else, with mayonnaise.
Oh, no. And black pepper.
Oh.
I'm going to have a turkey stuffing sandwich tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Wow. So I'm a stuffing fan myself, and I make three. Generally, I make a traditional regular stuffing, lots of herbs, mirepoix, you know, good brioche bread. Sometimes I use challah, which works well, too.
Hello.
Beautiful regular stuffing. Then I also do a Grand Marnier and fruit stuffing, where I'll do a bunch of dried fruit, some fine herbs, and then we'll finish with a Grand Marnier, which is beautiful. And then we do a unbelievable Cajun stuffing with andouille sausage and peppers, and usually it's the final peppers from the garden I use in that, which are just unbelievable. One of my favorites.
You put oysters in it?
That's not a bad idea. I should fucking do that. People would go nuts. But no oysters.
Andouille and oyster stuffing. Do you use cornbread?
I do. Cornbread. We use cornbread, net cornbread, and like some sort of really buttery bread to go with it, whatever I can find.
Oh, I love that.
It's literally, I take a bite of that stuffing, and I feel like I might make a baby. Like, it's so fucking good.
That stuffing you can use all year long.
Yeah.
You can take that stuffing, and you can throw it in, like, fish. You can throw it in all sorts of stuff, and it's so good.
That's a great idea, actually. You know, dude, I've never even thought about that. That's a great fucking idea. In the middle of Montauk in the summertime, you do a great, like, beautiful roast fish with, like, this awesome little stuffing with sausage. That's amazing. So none of you guys are bringing dessert, so I'm going to bring my famous bourbon pecan pie.
Hold on. Time out. What? You didn't say dessert.
You bring two things.
Yeah. No, you said
side dishes. And then you made Grill Mama bring the turkey.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, someone defaults to the turkey. I mean, literally, like, I'm not going to yield that very often.
Defaults?
I mean, listen, like, if Grill Mama, we have a person named Grill Mama who has tens of thousands of Instagram followers, and all she does is play with meat, we should probably let her bring the turkey. That's all I'm saying.
You can check her out at Grill Mama.
Nicely done.
He says it like my turkey's gonna suck.
Well, I just want to point out that really quick, Jeff. You should have gone with that, like put your balls and gone with it, because you were right on point there with perfect timing to put a plug in.
I know, but then you cut me off, so I just had to stop.
I did, or she did.
Sorry.
I thought you. I was nervous that maybe I wasn't the perfect timing because you went perfect timing, and I was like, oh wait.
No, it was fucking money. Do it again. Here you go. Ready to do it. Jeff, tell everybody who's joining us tonight where they can learn more information about her.
Oh, Grill Mama, the one and only queen of meat, at Grill Mama, Grill MOMMA on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and anywhere else you want to find her. Google her. Check her out. The food looks amazing.
Boomin'. That's a fucking plug right there. Jeff, you might be in the lead. Robbie does good plugs. Dave's a mess with plugs, but whatever. We love him. That's why we let him do it. And you might be on the money there.
Dave's coming up, bro.
That was very
Dave's coming
nice.
Up, man.
And we love Dave. Dave's the man. Dave is my dude. Dave is my fucking dude. I can't wait for us all to hang out together. It's going to be so fucking awesome.
Working at that for time.
Yeah. So, all right. So, listen. All right. Grill Mama.
Yes.
You got three tips to give a young culinarian, someone who is doing the Thanksgiving dinner for their family for the first time. Three tips, and Jeff, you're going to get the same question. What do you think are the three best tips you can give someone making a Thanksgiving dinner for the very first time?
Invest in a good instant read thermometer so you know that your turkey's actually done.
That's
huge. I had so many people feed me cooked turkey that was not finished on Thanksgiving. I actually purchased a thermometer for my sister. So that's number one.
Is your sister older or younger than you?
My twin.
Wait, are you a twin?
You have a twin sister.
I do have a twin.
What the fuck? What is happening? Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
Whoa.
How did you knew that plum?
Where does she live?
She's in Pennsylvania, okay. Down by Scranton.
Wow. Okay. Does she work for a paper company?
A paper company?
Yeah. In Dunder Mifflin?
No. She's outside of Scranton.
That's a whole other conversation itself. Literally, my left eyeball just blew up. I don't know what to say. Is she married? Does she have kids? What's her story?
Blood vessel.
One child divorced. She's tiny and blonde.
What?
Yeah, she's 5 inches shorter than me, actually.
I mean, you're 7'4", so that makes sense.
Shut up.
I'm so
she's
5'8", like a center,
eight,
you're
jerk.
A guard. That's all I'm saying. All right. So an instant read thermometer.
Yeah, I have two
sisters. 5'8".
An instant read thermometer. What else?
An instant read thermometer. Are we assuming this person is like Thanksgiving cooking naive and has like never cooked a bird?
No, let's assume that they are culinary trained, a little restaurant experience, but a first time ever doing a Thanksgiving dinner. So maybe they've roasted chickens. Listen, in the restaurant business, we don't roast whole turkeys on a regular basis. It's not a thing.
Right. I think timing is a big thing because people are always scrambling to do everything at the last minute, especially if you're not used to putting together a big meal. So anything that you can get started ahead of time, especially you were talking about, you know, desserts, you're making some bourbon pecan pie, then it's do that the day before. Don't scramble in the morning to be whipping up pies when you have all the you know, potatoes.
They're
going
to have to do it that day.
They can't
do it the day before because they're fucking working.
Oh, I was just up till 1:30 in the morning making a brine. You know, you do what you can, right?
Yeah, but you have access to codeine, so it's a little bit easier for you.
Do what you can, not what you can't.
You're right, yeah, yeah. But I think planning ahead. Yeah, if you're not used to it, you have to sit down and go, okay, this is what I'm going to make. And I think a lot of people forget stuff too, right? You're sitting there not necessarily like forgetting an ingredient, and then you're finding yourself wanting to run to the grocery store because you forgot something critical you need, or you don't have enough butter, or whatever it may be. So, you know, sitting down and going, all right, you know, I'm making mashed potatoes. I need this. I need whatever it may be. Planning just saves you so much, you know, worrying and freaking out about the whole meal. And I think so often my problem is I find myself stressing out because I want it to be so perfect that I don't enjoy it. And the more you can get ahead of time or done ahead of time, the more you can actually, you know, have fun with your friends or have fun with your family and not just be the only one pulling your hair out in the kitchen trying to make everything perfect for everybody else.
Hey, and root for the Lions. On Thanksgiving, we root for the Lions. Only time of year we root for the Lions.
Why is it the only time of year we root for the Lions?
Because it's the only time we pull for the underdog. Hey, so what would be a third tip? Thermometer, timing, what else?
Third tip. To actually sit down and enjoy yourself. I never did that. I'm always waiting on everybody.
Such mom answers.
I am a mom.
No, so, but like, this is terrible. These are.
Oh, my goodness. What do you want me to do? Dress up in drag and do the hula? Like, seriously.
I'm not going to answer that question because you might be surprised at the answer.
But no, for real, like, you know what I mean? As the cook and also the mother hen, what do? I spend all their time making dinner and everybody sits down to eat together and I don't even want to eat it. I don't want to touch it. Like, after I put all that work in, you know, when I actually enjoy Thanksgiving dinner the most?
The next day.
Not even the next day. Later that evening, when I finally get to sit down, grab a glass of wine, sit on the couch, and I'll make myself a plate of food.
Ooh.
And I just, like, finally get to sit down and relax, right? And actually enjoy it. Because you're going balls to the wall for how many hours doing all that work. And sometimes you just sit at the table and you're like, oh, God. And you'll eat, but I don't truly enjoy it, you know?
Right.
But then once I actually, a couple hours late, you know, go by, I get to sit down. I'm like, okay, now I can actually sit down and appreciate what I did and how good this actually tastes and not just be happy I'm sitting down after, you know, working so hard in the kitchen. So,
well, those are great tips. And I can hear Jeff jotting things down with a pencil. Jeff, what are your three tips, man, for the first time Thanksgiving cooking chef?
Okay. First, make a fucking list. Okay. This is the most important thing you can do when you're planning a meal like Thanksgiving, because it's many dishes, it's many courses, it all comes out at once. So you got to make a list, and then you got to prioritize on that list what can be done first, what can be done last, what can be done day of, what can be done on the grill, what can be done in the oven. Because I don't know if you're like me, I have one small oven in my little house, you know, and then I have a grill, and then I have a smoker, and then I have another grill, and like that all around the house, and like a fryer and an air fryer and, you know, things like that or whatever. Not an air fryer yet, not the kind that you have, but like a. So anyway, I think.
Oh, you mean
most important
an Ergo Chef, the brand new Ergo Chef My Air Fryer, available at ErgoChef.com. Make sure you check them out. The My Air Fryer, 5.8 quarts and 1,700 watts of air frying power. That's the Ergo Chef My Air Fryer, available only at ErgoChef.com.
Can't wait to try that. Can't wait to try that.
I'm not going
to
lie.
So first, make the list, you know, menu. You know, plan out your shopping, plan out everything you can do ahead of time. Like, you know, I do things like make my pumpkin puree like last month, and like I make my gravy and freeze it and do all that kind
of
shit way ahead of time. Oh, dude, I'm like on it because I don't want to stress. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like Monday morning, I make all my pie dough for Thursday. You know, I'm like pie dough's ready. In the freezer, I pull it out the day before. You know, this is done. I want to have all that shit done. My wife is making pecan bars like 2 days before and then wrapping them and hiding them from everybody. And like, you know, because it's like there's so much stuff that has to be cooked.
Dude, I want to make Thanksgiving with you guys for real, man. That sounds so awesome. We'd have so much
fun. We need to have a Friendsgiving.
Yeah, we should.
Oh, really. Friendsgiving would be fun.
It'd be so fucking awesome, man. I would love to do that. God, I would love to do that. All right, so Jeff, you're right. Make a list. What's next?
All right, so make a list. Number two, assign your cleaning staff. Like, you have kids in your house, they're going to be doing the cleaning.
Okay.
Is your mother-in-law coming and you know that bitch is going to do the dishes? Is, like, you know, you got, like, some lazy nephew or some, like, you know, degenerate niece or some shit that comes by. She's got, like, some, you know what I'm saying? You got that, you know, you got some family members.
Totally.
And you know you can be like, hey. Listen to me. Come here. I need a favor tonight. And they're going to go, what? And no, I know. Listen, I'm going to need a little help cleaning up. And they don't know what that means exactly, but you have to assign that person.
And they always say, of course.
Yeah, and then you just push them into the dish pit, and you just keep loading shit on it. And, you know, and then you continue to drink and make sure they have drinks. You treat it like a restaurant, you know. You're just like, "Oh, how you doing? Everything okay there, Pablo? All right, good job, buddy. Here, have a nice
drink." Wait.
You know,
I want you to be Pablo, and I want to be the chef. Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Go.
All right. Oh, Pablo. Hey, man. Dude, great job. Everything okay over there?
Everything's great.
All right, Pablo. Good, man. Here's a chicken sandwich. I'll see you.
Awesome, Corona chef. Thank you.
Cerveza. Yay, cerveza.
I don't speak Spanish, Steph. Why do I have to? Why does Pablo? Why couldn't Pablo be like an American Spanish guy who, you know, grew up on the Lower East Side?
You're right. And why do you assume that I'm saying it in Spanish because your name is Pablo? Maybe I only say cerveza when I'm talking about beers for myself because that's how I grew up.
Okay, you're right. All right.
Boomin'. I win. Point for the plum.
Point and score. And if you want to Instagram,
okay, terrific.
At Grill Mama. At Grill Mama. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Gotta check her out. Do you like meat? And you like food porn? And you like pretty faces? They're all on this page.
I love you.
You gotta
so much.
Go there and check it out. Instagram at Grill Mama. MOMMA, like a fucking adult.
That's right. Like a fucking adult. How could anyone not love Forking Chef, my man? Jeff?
I love Forking Chef.
He's a man. All right, Jeff. So that's your second tip. What's your third tip?
All right. Third tip is to have fun. But like what Grandma was saying, like, you can't take yourself too fucking seriously. You got to make sure you're well planned. You got to make sure you don't have to stress about, like, you're going to be drunk. The food's going to come out. You're not going to want to clean. You got to get that out of the way. And then you got to make sure that you're responsibly drinking and not making an ass out of yourself in front of your family, because this can happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might say something because you think you're being funny in the moment. And then you realize that, like, somebody in the room, you know, maybe, you know, had some sort of crazy thing happen to them and you made that joke, or, you know, their nephew is handicapped and, you know, and it's like you say things and you gotta reel yourself in. You have to have a good time. You gotta drink responsibly on the holidays while you're cooking.
Listen.
You know, or smoke. I mean, I'm a dual,
he's a double threat.
Party pooper kind of guy. Yeah, exactly. I'm into it.
Hey, check it out, everybody. It's a Thirsty Thursday here on Plum Love Food, special Thursday night edition, hanging out with the one on the Grill Mama. You can follow her on Instagram at Grill Mama. That's MOMMA, like a fucking adult. That's what we just heard. And of course, the man, the myth, the legend himself, the one and only, the Forking Chef, Jeff Peraza. Make sure you follow him. A couple of good brothers right here. Good brother and a good sister. I call everybody good brother.
Good brother. Good brother.
Oh, that's right. A couple of good brothers here hanging out. Hey, we're working really hard. We've been talking a little bit loosely on the program here about our event we're doing with the Navy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, Forking Chef's going to be there. We're working really hard to try to get Grill Mama to come because we want her to be our pit master. We're waiting to hear the update on that. I'm not going to pressure her about that here on this program. But Grill Mama, I want to just, all that stuff aside, when I first presented the idea to you, just for a second, because, you know, it was Veterans Day was this past week, and just how important is stuff like that to you to be able to go and give back to the men and women of our armed service? Because to me, I mean, I don't, if it's, you know, veterans or armed services, kids and dogs, then you'll have me every single fucking time. But I think it's so important, man. I mean, those guys, they're busting their ass. They're on duty. They're working their asses off on the holidays. And, you know, I just think it's important to show them that we know that and we recognize that.
Well, it's like when you brought it up to me, I was all in. I'm like, absolutely. The first thing it did, I'm like, let me check my work schedule.
Your first answer was, like, oh, I got brand new tassels. I was like, no, that's not, no. I'm talking about meat.
Different and kind
of the meat you eat. No, the meat you like smoke and then you eat it. And you're like,
oh. All I could think about is jokes you were telling me when I was driving that one day.
I made a few.
Just
but
a couple.
Yeah, what is it? But in all seriousness, what does something like that mean to you, the event like that? Like, I mean, how important is something like that for you?
To have the opportunity and go and do that is absolutely amazing. Because how often does something like that come along? You know, yeah. So often we're cooking, doing events, you know, people are paying to be there, and, you know, whatever, you're doing your thing. And to actually go and do that for them, and knowing how much they would appreciate that, and just right. To have some amazing food and have fun too, because you're a load of fun. And obviously Jeff is, Dave is, I've never had the pleasure of meeting him in person. And, you know, we would go and just laugh and you're just lucky Dave's at work right now.
he knows I love him.
Yeah, he does. But my God, how much fun would we all have? And amazing. And that, because that, you know, if they can't be with their family, right? I mean, how amazing is that to be with a group of people that are going to feed you and laugh and be like family to them. And if I was in that position and I was away from home, and I, that's all you want is kind of like to feel that love. And, you know, that's something that's missing when you're away from your family and your loved ones. So Absolutely. Yeah, of course I was like, please, you know, let me be able to get out of work to do this. And, you know, that's where I'm at now, scrambling to make that happen.
We'll talk about that right now, that part of it, but good. I'm glad you feel that way about it, because listen, that's happened December 28th. It's going to be the Plum Loaf Foods Live Christmas special from the Groton Submarine Base in New London. I'm hanging out with the U.S. Navy. It's me and myself. Of course, Chef Jeff Forkin Chef's going to be there. Chef Dan Monroe is going to be there. Dave's going to be there. Our buddy Robbie's going to be there. We got a lot of good brothers. My friend Michelle Regussis is coming down from the Food Network. We're doing a meal. We're doing the show live. It's really going to be an amazing event. We're so looking forward to it. And hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't say shout out to our buddy Jeff here, Forking Chef. He's been a big help for me. He's been on every phone call with me. He's been there listening to the guys talk. He's picked up the slack when I couldn't answer the phone. So thank you for that, brother. You know I love you, and I appreciate you being there for us.
Oh, bro, come on. That's what we're doing. We're making it happen.
There you go.
Making it happen for a good cause, you know. I couldn't agree more with what Grandmama said. Like when we talked about it on the show as a joke, and then it materialized into an actual event. It's awesome. It's great. You know, I'm super excited to be part of it. So anywhere I can help.
And I told you, I said, let me call the Navy and see how that works. And I found out that just calling the Navy is way harder than it sounds.
Hi, could you patch me through the Navy, please?
Yeah. So listen, we're going to have 2 months in a row of two-hour Chef-taculars, one at the Navy and one at Mohegan Sun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Grandmama, I got to get you to Mohegan Sun for the Sun Food and Wine Fest, the biggest event ever. It's such a great event here on the East Coast. I do want to talk more about Thanksgiving food, though. That's enough plugs for what we got going on. So,
I want to know what the hell's for dessert.
My pecan bourbon pie. Are you fucking kidding me? It's
you can't
jam.
Have one option for dessert.
You don't
Who
need
are
anymore.
You?
You're going to take... Who are you? You're not American. What are you, fucking a Nazi? What's wrong with you?
We're going to have three kinds of stuffing and just one pie for dessert. That's
all
wrong.
All right. Well, listen, you tell me.
You really only need pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving. Mm. You really only need pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I don't know.
In
pumpkin
my opinion.
Pumpkin pie is delicious. Grandma, what's your dessert of choice for Thanksgiving? Let me guess. Are you smoking like chocolate, like smoked chocolate, like custard or some shit?
No, I do love pumpkin pie when I'm sitting down having my meal. But then later on, I want something like chocolatey. Yeah. So like, I want that quintessential homemade pumpkin pie with whipped cream and for my actual meal. But I would love that pecan pie you're talking about too. But I would want both. I want a sliver of both, you know.
Nice.
And then give me something chocolatey when I'm having my second Thanksgiving dinner on the couch later on.
Jeff, just cut me off a thin slice of that pumpkin pie. Just a thin slice of that pumpkin pie with some whipped cream. I'm not a fucking Nazi. I want whipped cream on it. Right, animals. Jeff, what's yours? I think it's pumpkin pie, right? Is that what you're bringing?
I would definitely bring a pumpkin pie. Maple cream. Maple whipped cream.
See, does the maple take over? I love maple, but does it take over? Is it too much?
I love maple and pumpkin pie. I think it's my thing.
I've never had that.
I like those two flavors together a lot. Oh. I like it a lot.
Wow.
So it's Thanksgiving, you guys. Everyone knows it's an ongoing kind of thing here on this program. I haven't had on this particular since Labor Day. I haven't had beer, pasta, or bread. I haven't had any of these things. Is Thanksgiving the time where I can break that and actually do that? Is that okay?
Hell yeah. Oh. You have to have stuffing.
Well, you can make I make a delicious rice stuffing. And also there's a really yummy quinoa and like fruit stuffing. And you can keep off the carbs if you want. I mean, I congratulate. It's hard, girl. That's hard to do.
You call me a girl. It's hard, girl. You just said to me.
I said, dude.
No, you totally said, girl. Listen back. I wish I fucking had someone who could rewind this and tell you. You said, it's hard, girl.
Did you hear me? What? I probably slurred my words because I've had too much scotch, but
it's
I don't
hard,
think
girl.
I
did.
And this Earl Grey tea.
Yeah, my girl Gray tea.
See, girl Gray tea's balls are flapping. It's like the window's open for some reason. It's fucking. There's 6 inches of snow inside of his apartment right now from the city, as well as the fucking windows are open.
Frosty balls.
Frosty.
So frosty.
Yeah. So what about for Thanksgiving cocktails? I mean, obviously everyone wants to go. We talked to my man G about Beaujolais Nouveau a couple weeks ago. You know, the standard, kind of the first tasting of the new Beaujolais. Not my thing. It's very fucking Kool-Aid. I'm not into it. What do you guys drink on Thanksgiving? What's your holiday beverage?
Bloody Marys, usually. Because we usually have, like, a brunchy type thing going on at one point. So we'll have, like, Bloody Marys or, like, some sort of drinks. I don't know why, but I think someone brought a Bloody Mary bar one year, and then it was like, oh, that was awesome. Let's do that every year. And then it like became like a thing. And then and mixed drinks and stuff like that. Like, I think some wine.
Wine. So you're a wine guy. All right. Right on. Right on.
I think you missed all the first part, but yeah, I drink wine too.
No, I heard the Bloody Mary part, but like Bloody Mary's early. I mean, Bloody Mary is like an earlier part of the day. I can't drink a Bloody Mary past like 4 o'clock.
What?
I just can't.
Are you never hungry and thirsty at the same time? I don't understand. Like, you've never been to like a Friday's and they have like Ultimate Bloody Mary Baconator, and like you, like, you know, it comes with like a slider and like a shrimp and like a lobster.
Like a shrimp. It's got a fucking shrimp on it.
Dude, I'm not lying. It'll be like all smoked, and it'll come with like a, you know, a giant cup. It's like, you know what I'm talking about, those like Friday places. Those, like,
I do. Hey, my friends over at Hooter Brown serve like slices of brisket on theirs, and like fucking a rib, a couple slices.
Oh, they're
of brisket.
Beautiful.
Oh,
see what
God.
I'm saying? I would have one right now.
It's $20 for one, but it's like a fucking meal. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. It's uh-huh. Like, you know what? I'm not really hungry, but I'll have two Bloody Marys.
Wow. Listen, it's a snowy Thursday here in the beautiful Northeast. We've got tons of snow on the ground here in Connecticut, about 50 miles outside of New York City. Jeff told you he's got a bunch of snow going on. There's trees falling down, all kinds of crazy shit. Grandmama, how much snow you got up there?
Oh, it's got to be. I'm going to say last time I looked out there, it was about 8 or 9 inches, but that was, it turned to ice for a little while. So
it's so hard not to make jokes when you say things like that. I try so hard not to. Like I'm biting my knuckle right now.
Like we said, it's not Station Head Plum. Remember that.
I know. Dave is texting me saying that he's going to be home in 10 minutes. He said the roads are fucked. He's driving 10 miles an hour on the road. So I was like, go slower, dude. Please don't fucking get in an accident. He's driving home from Mohegan.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it was bad here. I mean, just even around 4 o'clock today, just it was like you did not want to be on the roads, and it just started falling really fast.
It was beautiful. Like, I love the snow. It's gorgeous. But when it comes to March and it's still snowing, I want to fucking put a fork in my eyeball. That's all it is. Like, I'm fucking over it. I'm so ready for summertime.
If we get 6 months of it here, it just sucks.
Yeah, I guess so.
I hate snow all year. I don't care. Like, my wife loves it. She's like so happy right now. And we have this, like, our biggest, like, thing that we don't agree on. Like, I think it's pretty when it's falling, but I hate snow. I just hate it. Like, it puts me in, like, kind of a bad mood sometimes when it's falling. Like, I'm like, oh, man, all the shit we have to do because of it. It's like, boots.
I have to go unbury all my grills so I can cook out there.
Just light them.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, like, that actually brings up a good question. That brings a good question. You know, wife or husband, biggest argument about food during Thanksgiving. You ever had one of those, girl mama?
With mine about food? My knows to just kind of...
You better back the fuck up, right?
Back the fuck up and clean.
You're 7 foot
behind
four,
me.
7 foot 4, 500 pounds from Grenoble, France.
No, for real, because I get a little... punchy if people are in my way and I have stuff moving all over the place, and you know, you have everything in its place, right? And somebody goes and touches
you. What's
your
called?
Stuff.
It's called like, mise en place.
Mise en place, but it's like, leave my shit alone.
But let me ask you this: so if someone else does that to you, but let's say like you got two chefs the caliber of Jeff and I, 20 years experience, winning awards, and I come up and I'm getting in your way, and I'm like, listen, let me show you how I do this.
We would have a mutual understanding of each other's responsibilities in the kitchen.
Put you in the dish pit.
Yeah. It'd be a brawl.
Well, you are. I mean, you got to be careful because Grill Mama is 7'4", 5 pounds from Grenoble, France.
Hello?
That was Andre the Giant. That was Andre the Giant. That's what I was doing. No, I'm totally kidding. She's not that tall. She's it's not. She's like 6'10". It's not 7'4".
Shut up. I'm 5'8".
Speaking of 6'10", where's Dave?
speaking of 7'4", he's driving. He might join us. He might not. We'll see how things go. Well, Grill Mama, I appreciate you coming on here and talking and sharing a little bit of your Thanksgiving things and what you've got happening. We really do appreciate that. Is there any, like, when it comes to your Thanksgiving dinner, Grill Mama, is there anything that's like a, you know, like a signature type dish from you that no one else ever does? Like, do you have, like, what was it called? Hold on. Do you do the swine epidermis dust? Whatever it's called, like.
No. You know, I used to go all out and crazy and put this huge spread of food out, and then at some point I said, "What the hell am I doing? Like, I'm not even eating half of this." You know, I would just try to appease everybody with so much stuff, and then now I'm more back to the basics, right? Like, I want a bomb ass turkey. I want good mashed potatoes. I want stuffing that I know I'm gonna love. You know, a couple of veggies, whatever. But no, I don't have anything crazy and signature that I make now. But it's like you want those tastes like you had growing up, right? Like my stuffing is very reminiscent of my mother's stuffing. And it's just, it's not just stuffing, right? It's memories and it's everything. And you want it to taste a certain way.
No, but there's memories there. Sorry. I agree, there's memories there.
Oh, no. But, you know, that's a whole other thing. But, you know, no, I don't make anything crazy anymore. But it's, you know, I make some like stuffed mushrooms, but just, you know, I just not a lot of stuff, you know. And, you know, there might be 10 things on the table, but compared to how I used to be, that's really toning it down.
Yeah.
I think I'm like my grandmother. She'd like make 30 different things. It's like, what are you doing this for? But, you know, at some point you have to say, is this all really necessary? Or is everybody really enjoying all of this? And just, you know, you have people coming over, you know, they love certain things. Yeah, make those things, but you don't have to get crazy. But no, I don't have anything crazy, like, you know, unique that I make that other people don't make. Sorry to disappoint you.
No, no disappointment. Let me ask you guys this. Do you guys do appetizers for Thanksgiving dinner, or is Thanksgiving dinner not need appetizers?
I don't know, the stuffed mushrooms is like while I'll throw those in the oven and as people are waiting. Like,
I'm sorry, what are you making? You know, stuffed what?
Stuffed mushrooms.
That's what I thought. Hang on a second. Let me answer the phone. Oh, it's 1994. They want their mushrooms back?
Shut the hell up.
But don't they, don't we all do a relish tray? I mean, don't we all have like, you know, the you know, the celery with the shit, like the cream cheese and the olives and the, you know, olives and cheese and crackers. Well, I mean,
crackers.
You don't put all that stuff out. You don't put out like a big, like little thing before dinner,
like a charcuterie type tray, and like charcuterie.
Yeah, like a relish board with charcuterie and some crackers and snacks. Even maybe some stuffed mushrooms, maybe a couple little crab cakes or something.
No, I don't do that.
My holidays are very small because either one or both of us are working. You know, so we're long disgusting. Gone are the days. Did you say you're disgusting?
we cook so much food, it's like hilarious, and then we'll take pictures of it after everyone's eaten and there's still so much that it looks like this doesn't make sense. It'll be like,
how many people do you have
this year? I think we have 15 or 16.
That's a lot of people.
That's what I got.
Yeah, my little house too, you should see it, it's pretty fun.
Are you doing it at your house?
Yeah, and like half of them are sleeping there. It's gonna be crazy.
Crazy and fun, though.
That's funny, man.
When you're cooking for three people, all the trundle beds are pulled out.
Well, dude, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, we don't do any kind of appetizers, really. It's funny. One of my my mother-in-law always tells like the one person who really isn't much of a cook in our family to bring pickles.
I'm losing you.
Hey, that's you. You there? She always tells the one person in our family who can't cook to bring pickles, and I'm like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Bring pickles? What does that mean?
Does she at least bring good pickles?
I'm making like cookie. I'm making like cookies. I'm making pies. I'm making stuffing. I'm making turkey and gravy and sides. And she's like, "Oh, don't worry. He's gonna bring pickles." What?
Cranberry sauce? Yes. We go cranberry sauce from scratch or jelly?
Ooh, good question. Good question. I like to make mine. It's so easy.
I make mine too. I love making mine.
Yeah.
It's so easy. Do you add shallots to it? Because I like to add shallots.
I always have to have the jelly one there because a couple people that come to the fucking dinner don't like the other one. They want the jelly one. It almost breaks my heart a little bit.
The jelly one actually has a place, though. I agree. Like mixing that with a mayo and like a cranberry mayo on a sandwich the next day is delicious.
Put it in the cream cheese. You ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, too.
I have to put it in a kiddie pool and jump in there wearing nothing but a Speedo.
Cranberry stuck up your ass.
Well, maybe. Or and other
well,
places.
Well, it's jelly, so it doesn't really get stuck.
It slides.
Make sure it's the jelly.
Yeah. Choose the cat of jelly kind. It just looks like a bunch of logs that he's going to roll around on.
Jesus. I'd like to let everybody know that Dave did make it home. He is now home.
Oh, good.
Dave!
Listen, so it's one of those things where Thanksgiving's a great time of year. You know, I would love to eventually get to a point where on this program, it's like the Plum Love Foods Thanksgiving, and that becomes like we own that holiday. Like we do the show on like that Monday before Thanksgiving. Like we have a big like food blowout, and we're someplace live. We do the show. We got like 30 people, and like all this awesome food, and we're just like fucking hanging out. That'd be so much fun, wouldn't it? Like all
that
the guests on the
so
show.
That would be so much fun. Yeah, we should do it.
And then we could do it like on YouTube, like do a YouTube live or something like that. That'd be so cool.
You need to write this shit down, Plum.
Yeah, I got lots of ideas. I'm always trying to do things. I don't know.
I know.
Jeff will tell you. I've always got things. The next thing you know, I have things, and then we're cooking for the Navy. Like, that's how it goes. I don't even know how it goes. Yeah, so, listen, the problem is, oh, what's that sound?
Dave.
You guys can't hear that. Do you hear that?
Dun, that dun, dun.
No, I'm losing you.
That's best around. Is fucking Dave here? Dave,
yo.
Are you with us?
What's up?
Oh. Holy shit. We've been shitting on you all night, dude.
Dave, fuck yeah, boredom.
What? Not true. We were talking about how much we love you, buddy, man. How was your night, dude? You drove home. Everybody safe? You're good? The car started? You got home? You straight?
Yeah, car started. Nobody in Connecticut knows how to drive.
That's true, but all right.
I was, and like, it would be fine if I lived at the bottom of Norwich, but I live at the top of it, so I had a bunch of hills to go up to where, like, there were pickup trucks sliding backwards past me, but I just threw it in low and kept going.
Oh, my God.
You happened to play a little ICP as you drove past them.
I did not. I had no music on because...
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, you feel like you have to listen.
Focus.
When you're driving.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I do the same thing.
What? Oh, no way, man. You got to go like Tom Cruise and go highway in the danger zone. You got to slap a tape deck on your thigh. You got to pop that shit in, and then you just got to like,
and then boom. Here's the thing about Norwich. If I highway to the danger zone, I end up in someone's living room or in the harbor.
Yeah. Don't go in the water. Actually, the water's probably warmer than the air.
You can still drive 20 miles an hour. Have the highway to the danger zone music on so you feel dangerous.
Oh, I mean, when I was on the highway, I was probably going about 50, 60. But then once I got into, like, the residential areas, I made sure to slow down. Because, seriously, if you go off the road, you're going to end up in someone's house. Like, they're pretty much right off the curb here.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. Yep. And then, like I said, if there's not a house there, there's the harbor.
This is Dave driving home. Fuck yeah, I'm getting home for the show.
Hell yeah. I even keep, you know that grease paint that football players use?
Keep talking.
Yeah, that grease paint that football players use, I keep it in my bag. So when I'm driving, the glare of the headlights don't get into my eyes. It's great times.
Fuck yeah.
And then
yeah.
I put a bandana on, like John Rambo.
I need more like special effects on this program. That was awesome.
Aww.
Here we go. There's actually been a lot of special effects, but you guys can't hear it for some reason. But, well, Dave, I'm glad you're home safe, man. We were talking a lot about things where we had mentioned a little bit about the Navy event, how we're heading out Sunday to go visit stuff, and we're excited you're a part of it. Thank you for being a part of it. We do appreciate that. And Grill Mama, we're still waiting to find out if she's going to be in. Hopefully we'll know something next day or so. But
wait,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, what? Don't. We're not doing that in public. It's okay. he's about to lambast you, and I don't want to let that happen right now.
All right.
It's not my fault.
Listen, Dave woke up this morning, and he's feeling a little. Hold on. He's feeling a little. Dave called me this morning and said, "I feel dangerous."
All right. Actually, I think I called you
Ice Man.
Hell yeah, Dave! Listen, I searched all over on YouTube, and this is going to be a little inside baseball, but I think Jeff's going to drive his ass up to me Saturday night when he gets off work, and so I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do to hang out. So I happen to find Stranglemania on YouTube, so we can watch that with Jeff and have a few drinks.
Hell yeah, asshole Andy Armageddon up in the
fuck
house.
Fuck yeah, that's my dude, asshole Andy Armageddon. Damn right, and Skinny Wolf, that's my dude.
Fuck yeah. So wait, you guys are having a sleepover and I didn't get invited?
Ponderosa and Sweden House, you know. you can come over if you want.
I mean, I get out at like 11:30, so I probably wouldn't get there till 1:30.
That's all right. We'll still be kicking.
You're crazy. You've never heard me at 1 o'clock in the morning when I just start talking delirious shit. Don't know what's going on. You've had me on the phone.
Yes,
there.
We totally have.
I was gonna say, I think I might have.
I think we
1 o'clock in the morning, I just become completely irrelevant. Like,
yeah. What do you watch Stranglemania? It's gonna be really fucking irrelevant. Hey, listen, Grill Mama. We're kind of getting off.
I love
off,
Stranglemania.
We're getting off topic
Jesus
a little
Christ.
Bit. Dave, we talked a lot about Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving meals and things like that. Dave, we're running a little bit late here, so I'm going to make it quick. Give somebody one tip when they're making Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. What would you say to them?
Use duck fat on your turkey.
Fuck, dude. Everybody just said it. Wow, that's why Dave is a fucking man. Everybody
strong had... move. Strong move, David.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck it. That's why his name is Fuck Yeah.
That's it. That was legit
Fuck
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Boredom.
Like, I think what we do is combine.
At Dave Boredom on Instagram. Check him out.
There you go. I think what we do right now is that we combine what everyone said. Dave, Jeff had said that I should, if I'm going to deep fry my turkey, I should inject it with some compound butter of some sort. I think I should make a compound duck fat and inject that bullshit into my fucking bird.
That'd be solid.
And but Mama, you didn't really add
the
much
cool
to that.
Thing,
but...
Here's the cool thing about duck fat. If you've used it before, it took on all the flavors and seasonings of the other shit, and you don't even have to compound it. You just inject it in and let it go.
See, now you're doing like ghetto hot cuisine. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like that's
you don't have to. You don't have to do a compound duck fat if you've used it before.
I know,
you
but
know
I don't save my
yeah,
duck fat.
Yeah, but that's, you'd have to roast the whole duck in something to do that, David. We
not
don't,
if you
we
do
don't a... work in a restaurant. We don't have what? A whole duck roasting. In the walk-in, where yeah, we can scoop the fat and right. make it out of the beautiful whatever you filled it with. We have to go to Citarella and buy a tub of duck fat.
That's true. That's
yeah.
true.
All right. I'm just saying, like, duck okay. fat never goes bad. If you comfy something, strain it off, oh, save it, and then it's delicious.
I got lots super of room fat. In my walk-in, in my 28-inch refrigerator. I have tons of room.
Yeah.
So much. Duck fat.
Grill Mama, like, you have any experience with duck fat? Because you got really quiet there. I'm not sure what's happening when Dave starts talking duck fat to you.
I'm just listening. This is what happens.
Well, listen, I think we've hit the wall here. It's time to wrap this show up. I feel like this show could really take a turn for the worse if we keep going.
Let's keep going then.
All right. hey,
Mama
I don't know if you guys,
Foods After Dark.
That's right. I don't know if you guys heard. We had our friend G.
Plum After Dark.
Welcome to Plum Love Foods After Dark.
That's we know what happens after midnight.
My name is Chef Plum, but you can call me.
You know where your children are?
P-Dog. Listen, I went to the wine shop today to go see our friend G, the wine slinger, who's on this program. It's a great fucking program with him, by the way. If you haven't heard that, you got to check it out. Fantastic program. I don't know what just happened there, but I think basically what happened there is that Jeff yelled the equivalent of throwing gang signs in a news photo. So I don't know what that means, but
I said I'm giving him a shout out.
Yeah, it was a great show. Have you heard that one yet, Jeff, or no? Because he was fucking great.
Yeah, I did hear that one. I thought he was fantastic.
Talking Wine. Love that guy so much. I went and saw him today at his store.
Is that the one that I came on at like 1 o'clock in the morning?
It might have been.
After work, like you called me and I called in or something. I can't remember. It was like,
well, I went to see
G. Oh, it was after I drove.
Yeah. I went to see G at his store today and he talked me into buying $21 maraschino cherries he had. And he's like, you got to put these in your fucking, in your old fashioned. And I was like, wait, what? He was like, yeah.
Oh, are they the ones in like the really thick, thick syrup?
Yep, and then he threw the chef thing. He was like, "Chef, come on, you're a chef. You appreciate good ingredients." And I was like, bro. "Oh yeah, I guess I do." I was like, you "Fuck."
Then you get in the car and you're like, "Damn it,
cherries." I've had cherries fermenting for 6 months.
How were they
in a crock? Oh, they're crazy. They're finally done bubbling, and all the alcohol, brandy, sugar flavor. All it is sugar, sour cherries, and thyme and weight on top of them.
Sounds awesome.
Oh, and it bubbles for like 6 months. It's all funky. It smells all weird. Super sugary. It like kicks up so much moisture that I filled up a 2-quart thing and then fermented that syrup and have like a 2-quart fermented sour cherry syrup, which is like awesome. That tastes like crazy.
You're like a fermenter. You ferment shit all the time, man. You really are kind of really getting good at that.
I have been. And I actually just got that Noma fermentation book. Which has changed my game a lot. Like, really? They've really dialed in some of the science that, like, I was bro-sciencing a lot of stuff from, like, you know, YouTube videos and teaching shit together and just tasting things and just making sure I'm not dead yet. Like, I'm not dead. Everybody else try it, you know, and shit like that. And these guys have kind of taught me some more stuff. It's like, it's really cool.
Maybe he's really fermented.
Listen.
Oh, I forgot about that voice.
Easy. Listen, it's funny. It's funny because I talked to Jeff. I talked to Jeff, and he gets me all inspired to try to start doing things like fermentation and getting into it because he does a lot of that shit as a private chef. Like, you don't have a lot of opportunity to do that. Grill Mama, do you do a lot of fermenting, or have you ever done any?
No, I don't.
Jeff, throw some knowledge on her.
Holy shit.
Fucking
wake back. Up. Holy shit.
Okay, terrific.
I just think, I mean, you know, lacto fermentation is awesome. I just don't like wasting things either. I feel like I grew up in the Depression or some shit.
Dave, you do any fermenting at Tuscany or no?
Not at Tuscany, but like from time to time I'll make kimchi and stuff like that. Just for myself.
Some fermentation at Tuscany for specials. That might be fucking dope, dude. And you'd be changing the game over there.
Yeah, ferment some like porcini mushroom or something. I don't know.
But... Talk to Jeff. He's the fucking man.
Dude, I just started that. That was in that book. That was in the Noah book.
There you go.
Nice. Mushroom.
And you can do it with frozen ones. It works great with frozen ones. They release so much moisture with the salt, and then it just sits in time. I just backpack it. I'm just going to let it sit there for like 7-8 days. In fact, I might have it in the back of the car because I'm going to bring it to the Hamptons so I can keep an eye on it.
That's what's going on. Can you ferment truffle?
I've never tried, but you probably could. You can ferment pretty much anything. I mean, anything that can rot. You just have to keep, like, the idea is to, you know...
Keep feeding it?
Well, you want to make it a really cool place for certain bacteria and certain things to grow, and a not cool place for things you don't want to grow. So it's like, you have to, like, know what
like
you're
disco trying balls and strobe lights?
Basically, no, it's funny that you said that, because in the notebook... He equates it to like a line at a nightclub, and like
nice.
You're basically the bouncer, and you're like, okay, like you chicks are totally cool to go in there. Huh? You Guido fucking gonna fight everybody. Stay outside, like, and like, yeah, you want to keep the vibe in the club like harmonious and groovy. So everything's happening. You know, you want everything to work out.
Nice. So like, you can make your own soy sauce then, huh?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, totally, dude. Soy sauce is actually, I mean, it takes a long time, but it's not that. I mean, all those old school sauces, it's so crazy when you read about the methods to it. It's like, I mean, it's just like salt, temperature, and time, you know, and the fermentation process just kind of like, you basically want to keep oxygen out of it.
See, I love when we get Jeff really like breaking down how smart he fucking really is as a chef, because he fucking goes to town on this shit, and he can break it down for you on all this stuff. Like Grill Mama, isn't that, have you ever heard him talk like that? Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome.
I know, right? It's fucking awesome. The dude's legit as they fucking come, and like he comes on this program and makes his fucking dumb jokes and shit, and makes says shitty one-liners and. You know,
now he's getting all fermentation up in that.
And now, like, you got to talk fermentation. All of a sudden, you're like, holy fuck, this dude is smart as shit. And I'm like, that's my dude. I know. That's my dude. He knows what's up.
Plum, you're making me blush. Well, I'm sure you've heard it that I read and play around with.
That's the fun part about it, man. That's the fun part about what we do as chefs, man. We can do stuff like that. And you know, listen, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to let you finish, Jeff, but I got to throw a plug in there because we've had Grill Mom on the phone for a very, very long time. And I know that, you know, as she's a close personal friend of mine, doesn't really care. She stayed on the phone with me all night long if I wanted her to. I'm not going to. But we should probably get her out of here.
Yes, I have to work tomorrow.
Hey, listen, a wise gold tooth man once told me work is going to be there when you get there.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be fun trucking through the snow, whatever.
It won't be bad. It won't be bad.
I don't care. You know what? If you get the other people off the road, then I don't care. I don't care about driving the snow. It's just when you get the people who shouldn't be out there driving, as you all know. Yeah. So get out of my way.
Everybody in Connecticut.
Jesus Christ, stop fucking complaining, Dave. It's not attractive.
What?
It's not attractive when you're like, everybody in Connecticut, stop it.
David.
Jeff, tell everybody they can learn a little something about Grill Mama, man, because she's been killing it.
Oh, man, you can check Grill Mama on any one of the social media platforms at Grill Mama. Grill MOMMA, like a fucking adult. We spell it like an adult. Don't play these man games. It's not how we do it around.
This fucking come correct.
At Grill Mama. Grill Mama.
Mama.
There you go.
You hurt me.
You're amazing,
Grill Mama,
Jeff.
We love you so much. You have no idea. Like you're one of our favorite people ever. I can talk to you all night long.
We really hope it works out, Grill Mama. We're super duper fucking excited to hang out with you.
I am trying everything in my damn power and shut.
Well, like a guilt trip. If the person who's gonna work for Grill Mama is listening right now, you fucking cunt. You should come to work. We're gonna go to work. We're gonna go to work for the fucking Navy.
The
you
fucking
piece
Navy,
of
Dave. Tell him.
I mean, what is wrong with you? And you just want to go home to your family. Their family isn't even around.
Hey, you wouldn't even have a family without the fucking U.S. Navy.
Cooking for the fucking Navy.
The fucking Navy, Dave. You're not even chiming in here.
I'm just gonna show up and kidnap Grill Mama. That's it.
Right, listen, wait a minute. Can we put Detroit in the back pocket?
He's on some other shit right now. Whoa.
Can't say shit like that.
Just took a turn. It took a turn.
Jesus.
No, because like that way, they'll be like, oh, she got kidnapped, but you can still work the event because they'll think something horrible happened to you.
I know.
Dave, okay. I'm so happy. For a minute, I thought there was like, you know, some rope and lie. You know,
no, there's still, you got to make it believable. So there are going to be ropes and like duct tape and then a van.
What the fuck?
But, damn.
I know Dave, and Dave is a legit 7-footer, and like he's a giant human being. That's not okay. You can't say things like that, sir. Do you understand me?
Just looking at you is the trigger for some women.
Yes.
In both directions.
Wait, Jeff, you can't say that word. Directions. Jeff, you can't. It's 2018.
Trigger,
Sorry. Sorry. I got confused. Sorry. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to watch out for everybody else. I'm just saying.
Plum, you know me. I could kick his ass.
Dave, I don't know. Dave is 9 feet tall. You don't even know.
He keeps growing by the minute.
He's got a robot eye, and, like, he runs to work in the snow. It's the craziest fucking thing. I think he's
when you're that, you kind of like a gazelle. You just kind of, like, lift your feet and, like, hop a little.
It's weird.
Collide through the snow. He looks. It's actually majestic to watch him do.
It's sexy. I think it's kind of sexy. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. Anyway,
and
Grill Mama.
Glistening quant muscles just tightening and
Jesus
tightening as he glides.
I don't know why he has to run home with no chef coat on or no shirt. Like we should, especially when it's snowing. God. That's fucked up. Like, we shouldn't do that. That's what he does.
Sure. And on his butt cheek. So cute.
You guys are insane.
I feel so weird right now. Grill Mama, we love you very much. You're the best. Make sure you follow at Grill Mama on Instagram. It's MOMMA. Like a fucking adult.
I love you guys.
You're the
best. I'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
Okay.
All
Okay, honey. Have a good night, everybody.
Later, honey.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Mama. All right, there she goes, the one and only girl mama. How about that? Jeff, that was
does she make you want to answer her in a sexy voice sometimes? Yes. Like when she talks to you, like, I want to go like, oh, yeah?
I thought I had been. Is it not?
It's like, I have to train myself not like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kool-Aid man. Like, that's not the Kool-Aid man.
Oh, that is the Kool-Aid man. Shit, that's not sexy at all.
No, you break through a wall. Yeah. Wait. Is that what you do? You say that and break through a wall, then kidnap her with the duct tape and shit you're talking about? What the fuck is wrong with you? Don't say that shit on fucking public airways.
That'll work. That'll work. I gotta write this down. Hold on.
Jesus, we're top 10 in food. You can't say shit like that. They're gonna call the police on you.
Look, if it doesn't, it'll be all right. Okay, holy it'll
shit.
Be okay.
I don't think I'm gonna call the police on you.
Yeah, I'm maybe. Gonna call the local police department. And be like, hey, we're doing a prank for a TV show, and here's a permit. Leave me alone. So if somebody calls the cops, they're like, oh, it's a prank.
Hold on.
But it's
where
not even going to be.
Where said permit?
For, I don't know. I will.
Kidnap someone. I want to get one. I'm just saying. I've always wanted to do this also. And
like, if you just say.
The up and, if I could stay like, on the up and up with the whole thing. I mean.
I think like a way you could do it, like I said, is like, oh, I need a permit to shoot at this place. And then just show up with a camera. It doesn't even have to be on. And then just kidnap somebody.
Listen, it doesn't even have to be on.
And then when you put the bag over their head, just be like, this is for TV, when everybody's like looking around and stuff. But, you know,
Dave,
it's
you're
not.
A much better guest than co-host. You're like talking a lot. Like, you're a much better guest than co-host.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Listen, here's the thing. I can see it now. I can picture it right now. Whatever happened to old Dave? Well, he talked about kidnapping, and now he's doing a fucking life sentence in the fucking prison.
Look,
I'm going to tell you.
It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. That's for one.
Is that it?
And then, for two, like I can only get like a life sentence if I actually kidnap somebody.
All right. Well, she'd probably be down with it, though, 'cause
she's
a weird person.
You're white, right?
Yeah,
you can't ask that. It's 2018. You can't say that.
They don't do that. It just doesn't happen. I mean, at least not in New York. I don't know how Connecticut works, but I mean, here in New York, it's
black
like,
people don't kidnap people.
They don't. They won't shoot you if you're white, but if you're any other color, they will shoot you and call you a terrorist.
I don't know. Have you seen how big I am?
Dave's a big dude. They might shoot him because he's fucking.
They
big.
Might. Yeah, they might be like, he's too big. Let's just shoot the shit out of him.
He's fucking big.
These people have shot up like churches, all sorts of things. They come out, they don't kill them. Like they don't kill them. I don't understand how they don't get to kill them.
Look, if they were shooting a church, they would hit Dave first. That's how big he is. They would hit Dave before they hit the fucking church.
And he's always guarding churches because that's his.
I'm like, just kidding. Look.
They'll be like, shoot that large Hulk-like creature.
That's true. So, that's true. Dave is a man, and I'm saying big, not like he's a big fat dude. Just the opposite. Dave's a big, like, built guy who is 9 feet tall.
I follow him on Instagram. I see all his body pics.
Oh, you'll see. Well, listen, Dave, I'm so glad you made it home. I'm so glad the car started up. Everything is good for you, brother. No matter what happens, we'll handle it. Don't stress about that.
Dude, if it messes up, I'm just going to, like...
You should get the battery check tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to get the battery checked, but if it's something too crazy, I'm just going to drive it into the harbor and then call in an insurance claim.
Fuck yeah.
And, like, new car, what? No.
Allegedly, you would do that.
Allegedly.
I don't know. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's such a funny joke.
Yeah, who would have fucked with that? I like that joke. That's funny. Yeah.
Could just set it on fire. Anyway.
That is really fucked up if you would say that on this show.
You know, they used to call that, it's also racist, I guess, like,
I mean, these are all jokes. You know, these are jokes, people.
Are
come
jokes.
On.
That's great. Jeff.
So, the old Italian lightning.
Much love, buddy. You know I got nothing but love for you. I appreciate you coming
love
on.
Love back, brother.
And pinch hitting. Robbie couldn't join us. Dave couldn't join us. And I don't like to ask you because I know how busy you are, but I appreciate when I text you. You chimed right back in and said, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm in. So,
yeah. Well, Thursdays are great because I don't have the family. Mondays are tougher because, you know, I'm like date night or I'm home with the wife.
I get it. Listen,
but
it's one of those things.
When I can, I love to be part of it. You know I do it.
Hey, we got a great bullpen here on this program, man, these days. I tell you what, we really do. And I know Dave's been busting my balls about some shit with this program, and hopefully we'll make it happen. But we got a great bullpen.
Dude.
And I like the co-host thing. I think it's great.
I think so, too. I think you guys are killing it. I think there's a lot more structure to the whole thing lately. And I you know, as a listener, and you know, just like, I think it's definitely, I like it a lot. I like it. I think it's definitely, you've grown as a podcaster in the last couple of years for sure.
I appreciate it, dude. We could do a we could do an hour and we could do a 2 hour show on this on here easy.
Absolutely,
we're almost there now, Dave. By the way, I don't know if you've done so or not, but make sure you check out our buddy Ben Randall, who was on the program last week, the In the Weeds podcast. They talked very, very highly of you and I on their show this past week. So make sure you check him out if you haven't done so yet. The In the Weeds podcast by our friend Ben Randall. He's a good brother. That was a fun show last week, Dave. You were there.
Yeah, it was pretty fun for sure. I'll make sure to check out. What did you say? It was this week's show or last week's?
This past week's show, they did. They talked very highly of us. I think they like you more than me, but
probably.
It's totally fine. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
I'm quiet, but they're likable. They're like, you know, he's all mysterious and shit. So
no, they were like, he's really shitty at plugging, but it's funny. And I was like, yeah, it kind of is. That's why I make him do it.
Yeah.
Much love, though, brother. Hey.
Yeah. See, this is the thing, when Rob was on, we were talking, and then you're doing the same thing, and then Rob's like, hey, he's doing a good job, leave him alone. And I was like, yeah, see, I was doing a good job, because, like, I'm intentionally shitty. So, yeah, that's, we'll go with that, right?
I get it. You do it like a radio thing on purpose. You're not.
What do you mean a radio thing?
You're doing like the plug, like exactly. You're doing the radio plug on purpose.
Oh shit!
Yeah, hey, I guess so.
There you go. Hey, look, you guys just fucking hang tight for a second. All right, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you checking the program out. Please, if you haven't done so yet, please rate, review, and subscribe. It does great for the algorithm. I know you've been doing it. That's how we've been rated in the top 10. Generally the day and a half after this program airs, and we really, really appreciate that on iTunes. It does a lot for the algorithm. We're going to try to do a lot with that in the plans. Dude, this program was fucking top. It last week hit the top 100, top 200 of all podcasts. I think we were like 163. Fucking great.
Fuck
for
yeah.
Me, out of all podcasts. Not top food, not top arts, top all podcasts. We were like 163. Are you fucking kidding
That's
me?
Sick.
This ridiculous
That's
show.
Awesome.
How dope
that's
is
awesome.
That?
That's awesome. The support, dude. That's sick, man. The support. That's what's up. Awesome. Got so many it. People makes listening it. To you. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And they tune in to hear you fucking knuckleheads make dick jokes. It's awesome.
We've got a bunch of new reviews. We really appreciate that, you guys. Please, if you haven't done so yet, please rate, review, and subscribe. We do the show free for you once a week. Possibly more than that coming here very, very soon, but we have really, truly appreciate that. We appreciate all the support. This show is for all you cooks out there, all you hospitality industry individuals out there, everybody who works in the business, everybody who cares about this business. That's what we do this show for. We really, truly, truly appreciate you giving us the time, listening to us, run our mouths and say the dumb shit, and I'm sure we're saying the things that you're all nodding your heads, and I've gotten the emails about. You guys are nodding your heads and going, fuck yeah, I know what you're talking about. Dave, nobody likes you. That's all I'm saying.
That's not accurate.
You're right. You're very right. People like you very much, Jeff.
They love me.
You're a regular.
I like
brother.
Dave a lot.
Yeah.
See,
there you go. Thank you. That's true. Dave, I got nothing but love for you. But hey, Jeff, I appreciate you coming in tonight and hanging out with us. Dave, appreciate you. Make sure you, if you guys haven't done
super
so,
happy to be here,
dude. Please check out our friend Grill Mama on Instagram. It's at Grill Mama. Jeff, tell him how to spell that shit.
Grill. GRILLMOMMA. Grill Mama.
Like a fucking adult. There you go. There it is right there. We're looking forward to hey, next week on this very program, Portrait of a Chef series. We're going to pick that up again. We have a great chef coming off from New Orleans for the Portrait of a Chef series happening next week. Looking forward to talking to him. I'm not going to say his name yet because that would give it away, but very, very exciting. I'm going to post that again on the Instagram stories. If you guys, anybody, you want to jump on this series of Portrait of a Chef, let me know. We're going to continue doing it probably throughout the summer, from here probably till the summer, where we feature a chef who deserves a little attention, somebody who maybe doesn't get that accolade, doesn't have all the Instagram followers, somebody who has played a role in your life on this program. We're going to try to feature them and give them a spotlight to talk about their journey from a culinary standpoint, what's got them to where they are and what they've done. So we all know we've had those guys who are in our business in who have made an impact in our lives, and I want to feature them here on this program and give them a platform to talk and tell their knowledge. Maybe it could help somebody else nationwide or worldwide, because we are worldwide. Jeff, isn't that a great fucking plan?
Absolutely.
So there you go. Dave, if you haven't done so yet, make sure you follow my man Dave at Dave Boredom on Instagram. And, of course, the one and only at Forking Chef on Instagram. Gentlemen, any other plugs I missed there?
You didn't spell mine.
Dave, we're not doing this right now.
Okay.
We're not doing this right now. I'm not spelling, I said Dave Boredom, right, not Dave Bortnum. All right.
That's fair. That's fair.
Dave Boredom.
All right. Dave Boredom, a.k.a. Fuck Yeah.
Fuck Yeah, there you go. Big shout out to our good friend Grill Mama for coming on the program tonight and hanging out with us. Big shout out to our friend Forking Chef and, of course, our friend Dave Borden for checking in. My name is Chef Blum. Yeah. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And, folks, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. We'll see you next week right here on Plum Love Foods Live.
Why are we arguing? If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.